Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
As humans, we're doomed to live life far beneath God's intent. But as believers, we're called to the highest life possible, a life lived through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to study Power for Life. It will change you. If you are in Christ, then you are called to the highest life possible and imaginable. Life lived through the power and the presence of the very Holy Spirit of God that came into your life the moment you trusted Christ as Savior. Power for Life, that's our topic on today's edition of Daily in the Word. Welcome to this daily radio program featuring the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. You can find out more about Dr. Chappell and this program when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. And if you haven't already, I hope you'll visit the website and subscribe to the Rooted in Christ daily devotional. Every day to your email box or to your RSS reader, you'll receive a daily devotional from Dr. Chappell, a rooted principle, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading that will challenge your life and take you through the Bible one day at a time, all the way through the Bible this year. We hope you'll join us on our Rooted in Christ study in the Daily in the Word devotional. Find it at dailyintheword.org. But right now, we're going to open our hearts to the Word of God and discover God's power for living our lives today. Today, we study His power to give liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18. Here's Paul Chappell.
But the fact of the matter is that when you truly understand what Christ has done for you, He has liberated us not to serve ourselves, but that we might serve Him. And there truly is liberty in serving. Now you say, Pastor Chappell, are you just trying to get us to do stuff? Or where did you come up with this notion? Well, let's look at the Bible, all right? Notice chapter 4 and verse 1 here. We know that verse 18 speaks about salvation, metamorphosis, being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. But notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 4. What's the very first word there this morning? Therefore. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now someone says, whoa, we went from being born again to getting in the ministry. Where's Bible college in there? You know, where's seminary in there? And here is one of the great truths of the Christian life, and that is that we have been saved to serve. Paul said, therefore, now that I'm saved, I'm in the ministry. Now that I'm a Christian, I have the opportunity and the liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are saved to serve. Most of you know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are you what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But what does verse 10 say? It's in your notes, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Bible says that God saved us. Yes, that means forgiveness. That means a home in heaven. But while we're here on this earth, it says, He has created us as His workmanship, created unto good works. And so serving the Lord is one of the great joys of a born-again Christian. Whether it's witnessing, whether it's preaching in the rest homes, as many of our men are doing this morning, driving a bus for underprivileged children, whatever it is, my friend, part of the Christian life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have learned that when someone is truly saved and they have been liberated from sin, there is a desire in their heart to serve the King of Kings, the one who died for them. And they'll find a way to get that done. I heard of a lady last Christmas time that was with the Salvation Army, and she was downtown in another town ringing her bell. And a police officer came up to her and said, "Excuse me, ma'am, but we have an ordinance here that you can't ring the bell in this particular location." And it kind of crushed her. She had a tear in the corner of her eye when the man walked off. She wondered about the legality of the ordinance. She didn't really know what to do and was a little frustrated. But the next day, the officer rounded the corner. There was the same woman. There was a tremendous line of people coming and placing money in her little kettle, and he walked up to see what was going on. When he looked a little closer, she had two signs in her hand. One said ding and one said dong. And she had found a way to get her job done. You know what? When you love somebody, you're going to find a way to get the job done. And the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is what comes into the liberated soul, is a heart to serve Him. Service begins with salvation. Secondly, service in the Christian realm will always state the truth. It will always state the truth. Now notice this in verse 2. This is a powerful verse, and I want you to see it, speaking about liberty and serving Christ. It says, "But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." Now here we see that the Apostle Paul speaks of his salvation. Now he speaks of his service for the Lord. And he says, as I serve the Lord, he says, I'm renouncing the things of dishonesty. And he says, I'm not walking in craftiness like false teachers. But he says, my life is a faithful testimony so that people who observe me, their conscience tells them and testifies to them, there is something different about my life. His life was a life truly given over to the truth. And a Christian service will renounce the heresies and the lies that are about in society and will speak the truth. Notice that again. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, how many of you believe that the devil is a liar? Notice what the Bible says, in fact, in verse 4 in your Bible there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, this may sound very simple, but for the sake of time, how many of you have recognized there's millions of people in this world who are not followers of Christ? And many of them are good people and sometimes even religious people, but for whatever reason, they just don't see Jesus like you see it. And the Bible indicates that there is someone who has blinded their eyes. And whenever we come across blinding philosophies, there should be a loving approach to, in the spirit of Christian service, sharing the truth with those who need to hear what the Bible says. And not walking in craftiness or dishonesty, but speaking the truth in love. Why? Look at verse 3. It says, because if the gospel is hid, that is, if I keep the light under the bush and if I don't share the truth, then it's hid to people that are lost, people who need to be set free, if we hide the truth of the gospel. And so we must recognize our responsibility to state the truth of the gospel. Notice what it says in your notes there concerning the devil as a liar. It says that in verse Revelation 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, notice, which deceiveth the whole world. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Folks, we don't have time to go through all the lies of the devil, but now that we have been liberated through salvation, and now that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to serve the Lord in truth, and we need to renounce those things which are wrong and false, and we need to speak the truth, because there are lost people in this world whose eyes are blinded by the wicked one, and they need to see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone referred me to a book lately written by the Dalai Lama. And many politicians in Washington and many Hollywood stars and so forth, they love to flock to people that are of this Buddhist or Middle Eastern philosophy and so forth, and listen to the talks that are given. And yet sometimes when you compare them to the light of the gospel, it is unbelievable what is said. And in this new book, which is entitled Toward a True Kinship of Faiths, and the subtitle On the Path Toward a World Religion. By the way, if you want some insight to that, get some of the messages from last fall from the series Times Are Changing off the internet. But the fact of the matter is that in this book, which is about the unification of all faiths, the Dalai Lama said, and I quote, "In other words, one can be a religious pluralist, yet maintain for oneself the doctrinal aspects of one's own tradition as representing definitive truth." In other words, you can believe that all the religions of the world are right and that your religion is right, and it all still works out. My friend, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said, "Broad is the road of destruction, straight is the way of salvation," and we must recognize this morning, you can't give credence and say all these are right and this is right. Jesus said it himself, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And a Christian servant speaks the truth in love, and a Christian servant renounces the hidden things of dishonesty. Why? Because if we hide the gospel by saying Jesus is just a part of this big pluralistic concept of all roads leading to heaven, we're hiding the gospel for the people who need it the most. And so a Christian servant renounces the lies of Satan, and a Christian servant lives out the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's liberty in salvation. That's when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is liberty in serving. Some of you might remember the phrase quoted by a great politician years ago who said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." How many remember that? But you know, a lot of times people come to church with this idea, what can the church do for me? Or what can God do for me? And by the way, if you're here today in need, we don't care how you got here. We're just glad you're here today. And tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, we have a prayer meeting for the unemployed. And some are from our church, some are not. We have donuts and pass out some job referrals. And if you have needs, this is a great place to try to get headed in the right direction. But let me tell you something. It is a sign of maturity when you come to the place in your faith when you say, "Lord, you have saved me, forgiven me, and your Spirit has given me liberty. Now, Lord, how can I serve you?" It's not just about what the Lord can give me, but how can I serve him? There is liberty in salvation. There is liberty in serving the Lord in spirit and in truth. I must hasten. Notice, if you would, thirdly, there is liberty in the Scriptures. Liberty in the Scriptures. We find liberty in salvation through Jesus Christ. There is liberty in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not bondage, it is a joy. And may I say thirdly, there is liberty in the Word of God. Now, many unbelievers and Bible deniers today say, "Oh, the Bible will hold you down, and why? It's kind of repressive," and so forth. But you know, the Bible is actually the perfect law of liberty. You see, when you follow the laws, there will be liberty. When you follow the teachings of the Word of God, there will be liberty. Notice what it says there in James 1:21, verse 25 rather. "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty," speaking of the Bible, "and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." That doesn't sound like bondage to me. That sounds like blessing. When we follow this book of liberty, you say, "I thought it was a book of law." It is. And when we follow the laws of God, there is liberty. And in America, as we follow the laws of God, there will be liberty. And the Bible says it is a perfect law of liberty that guides and directs our steps. And I believe it's amazing to see how our forefathers studied the Word of God, and how it became the foundation for so many things that we're just accustomed to today. For example, in 1787 at the Constitutional Convention, James Madison proposed a plan to divide the government into three branches. And as he made that proposal, he said it was based upon Isaiah 33:22, which says this, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us." Three branches of government. We have the judges, we have the lawgivers in Congress, and we have the king. And it was from that verse that James Madison proposed, and the concept of three branches were accepted. That is why it is absolutely ludicrous for unbelieving senators to diminish and downplay the idea of asking a potential Supreme Court justice for her opinion on subjects that are from the Bible, such as the origin of life or the meaning of the family. It is absolutely relevant to find out, does this person even remotely respect the heart of the founders who, from the Bible, got these ideas to have a democratic government, to have three branches of government, and to have a Declaration of Independence with biblical language? Is it ridiculous that they would ask questions concerning biblical origins of our country or beliefs in our country? Absolutely not. It is relevant in the extreme. And every great man or woman of God in this nation has recognized the importance of the Scriptures and the importance of finding liberty, not from running from the Bible, but by hearing what the Bible says. George Washington Carver, back in the 1930s, said this, and I think it's a wonderful statement. "The secret of my success, it is simple. It is found in the Bible. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." What a tragedy today that while many would preach various topics of interest, they have turned away from the preaching of the Bible, and yet great and successful Americans would say, "It is the Bible that has guided and directed me to know the freedoms and successes that I enjoy in my life." Now, the meaning of Scripture can be centralized and focused in the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, notice, first of all, the gospel provides deliverance. The gospel provides deliverance for us. Notice in verse number 3 what it says again. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." Ephesians 5:8. "For you were sometimes in darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." John Adams, our second president, said, and I quote, "The general principles upon which the fathers achieved independence were the general principles of Christianity. I will avow that I believed and now believe that those general principles of Christianity are as eternal and immutable as the existence and the attributes of God." You see, he did not give credence to the gods or to the pluralistic path, but he said, as a founder, we developed our core beliefs from Christianity and from the teachings of the Word of God. In fact, John Adams said, it is the responsibility of the clergy to accommodate their discourses, to speak to the issues and sins of mankind in order to help this society. You see, our founders realized that we don't need less of the Scriptures to become a great nation. We need more of the Scriptures if we will have liberty. And when the Ten Commandments are taken out, and when the Bible is criticized, and when the name of Jesus is covered, then you will find not more liberty in America, but less and less liberty in America. You travel, as I have done, and as we've been to China, and you travel with others to Russia or Iran. You find those places where the light of the gospel is shining dimly, and you'll find less and less liberty. But you travel to those places where the Bible has been preached, and where Jesus has been lifted up, and you'll find more and more liberty in those places. You see, the Scriptures show us the way to deliverance through the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice, the gospel not only provides deliverance, the gospel presents Christ. You see, at the centerpiece of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Now let's look at verse 4. Notice, please. "In whom the God of this world," speaking of Satan, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not," watch this, "lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Now, the gospel is centered around Jesus Christ. And Paul said, hey, this isn't about us. This is about Jesus Christ, the Savior. The gospel is spoken of in verse 4 as a light, the light of the glorious gospel. And the light of the gospel reveals who Jesus is. And in verse 4, it says who he is. It says, he is the image of God, Jesus Christ, the image of God. Philippians 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being, notice what it says there in your notes, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal God. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. And Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came to this earth. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life. And then he shed his blood on the cross so that all of us might have liberty. And the Spirit of the Lord shows us who Christ is. And when we trust Christ as our Savior, we have forgiveness and liberty through him. Now, I pause on days like today, and I think about our veterans. And I thank all of you who've served in our armed forces and who are currently serving. And I think about the price of freedom. And many people like myself who have never been in a foxhole, maybe next to someone who was wounded or who died there, many of us probably can't fully comprehend the price that has been paid. But all of us endeavor to understand, and all of us would agree, the price for our freedom has been a great price. Hundreds of thousands have given their lives for the freedom we enjoy at this very moment. But at the same time, we pause this morning to realize that even as our freedom has come at the price of the blood of fellow citizens, the liberty that we know in Christ has been given to us because he went to the cross of Calvary, and as the Son of God, he shed his blood, he paid the price so that all who believe in Jesus Christ can be forgiven, and they know that they are a part of the redeemed family of God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, my friend, there is liberty in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. May we this morning never take for granted the freedom we have on this July 4th. May we give thanks to the Lord Jesus, but may we never forget the blood that he shed that we might have liberty in salvation, absolutely, in serving the Lord and in searching the scriptures, absolutely. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Whether it was Ronald Reagan or whether going back to our founders or all the way back to the first century, men and women whose faith was in the Word of God have always said it, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for providing liberty and forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray now that you would help us as a people, as individuals, to make sure and to assess by your Spirit's help that we have truly put our faith in Christ, and that we know what liberty is all about in Christ and by your Spirit. And we pray for our nation. We pray that our nation would not turn away from the perfect law of liberty, the Word of God, or from our Christian heritage. We pray, Lord, that there would be a returning back to the principles that made us great, that we would not be ashamed of the Bible or the name of Jesus, that we would never, ever retreat, but always hold up the light. Because, Lord, if we hide that light, there are people who are lost and will never know the way. Please use our church to spread the light of Jesus Christ in a loving, consistent manner. May people see our lives, and may they know that you are real.
You've been listening to Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, on today's edition of Daily in the Word. We're studying Power for Life, what it means to live life each and every moment of every day with the guiding power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God. That presence and that power changes everything. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, if you're not a believer, we invite you today to make that decision to invite the Savior to come into your life, to let his Holy Spirit take up residence, and then you can begin this dynamic daily relationship, moment by moment, experiencing the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. Before we go, I want to tell you about a couple of resources that we hope will strengthen your walk with Christ. First, a companion book to this series, Power for Life. It's entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity, Understanding the Spirit-Filled Life. It's written by Dr. Chappell. It's a powerful paperback book that will be a tremendous companion in your daily devotional life, and it will help you discover the unfolding daily work of power and grace and transformation that the Holy Spirit wants to bring about in your heart now that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. It's again entitled Living Beyond Your Capacity. You can find out more about it when you visit us at dailyintheword.org. It's also available at amazon.com in paperback form and also for the Amazon Kindle. We hope you'll take a look at it real soon. Next, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find recent broadcasts. You can subscribe for free to the Daily in the Word podcast and take the preaching and teaching of Dr. Chappell on your iPod or computer and listen to it anytime at your convenience. But very importantly, we've redesigned our daily devotional. We're calling it this year Rooted in Christ. Every day to your email box or RSS reader or to your website bookmark page, you'll find a very encouraging daily word of encouragement and devotion. And it's followed by an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture reading that will take you through the Bible in 1 year. It's a free subscription, and we believe that it will help you to become more rooted in Christ in the new year. You can subscribe to it by going to dailyintheword.org and clicking on today's devotion. Again, dailyintheword.org. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. Until next time, have a great day.